Thank you. Appreciate the opportunity to be here. Today I will cover some of the work that we have going on in Mississippi with Twin Row Corn Production. First, I would like to recognize the co-author in this, Davis Clark, who is my research associate there at Stoneville. And also at the same time, I would also like to recognize the Corn Promotion Board from Mississippi, who supplies a lot of the funds for the work that we do in corn, and we really appreciate this, their support. The big question comes, we're not in the middle of the Corn Belt, but we have a lot of producers and a lot of opportunities with irrigation. We feel like to be able to produce 250 to 300 bushel corn. And if you'll see in the data when we get into it that we have achieved that. Now, whether it's on a regular basis or not, we're in a 53-inch rainfall area with irrigation. That shocks a lot of people. But the fact is that we are in an area where distribution is a really key. Some of the things that we're really interested in is, you know, most of our area started out in four-row production systems. We've gone to eight-row production systems, up to 12-row production systems. And with the latest opportunities from John Deere going up to 16 to 24 to who knows how big. But our whole area is designed for bedded operations. So most of our crop is being grown on beds, whether it's corn, whether it's cotton, whether it's soybean. Everything's grown on beds to get water on the field and to get water off the field. These are alluvial soils, so we do have some subsoil moisture movement problems. The main objective of the first study I'm going to talk about was to look at the effects of seeding rate and nitrogen rates on corn production in a twin-row planting system. Most of our beds are on either 38 to 40 inches, about 100-centimeter beds, 100 centimeters apart, and that is fairly wide compared to the most other areas of the world. In this particular study, we were working on a bosket, very fine sandy loam. This is an alfasol. It's somewhat well-drained at the surface, but the subsoil areas are less well-drained than others. And we looked at this particular operation. Now, we are on a farmer's field. We are in large plots. Most of the plots in the studies that I'm going to be talking about range from a half acre to almost an acre in size. So they're pretty good sized plots. I have 100 acres worth of crops on this particular farmer operation. We're looking at nitrogen rates from 180 up to 260 or 202. I'm used to talking to farmers, so I've got it in both English, and I might move back and forth, and I usually have everything up there. So if you'll just read along, you'll kind of know where we are. But in the case of the farmer, we're using his equipment to plant his land, so he manages the entire operation. But we looked at seeding rates from 60,000 up to 100,000 seed per hectare, or 25,000 up to 40,000 plants per acre in this twin-row planting pattern. And you can see on these twin-row beds, you've got two rows planted together on top of the bed. So the beds are put up either in the fall of the year or the spring of the year, and we came in, we knocked the tops off, and we plant the two rows right on top of those beds. Same systems used for soybean. In this case, we're talking about corn. We're also, again, working with a farmer, so the nitrogen rates we set up, we took what he put out, and we added to what he put out into the field. So in 2005, he put out 67 kilograms to start with. In 2008, he put out 157 kilograms. So we set our test up to add to what he already did. To get into some of the research results, this is our field in 2005. Farmer calls me up and said, "Are you sure you want to harvest this test?" This is a result from a Hurricane Katrina. We told him we didn't think we needed to harvest these plots, so we had no data collected in 2005. 2006, we moved to another area on the same farm, same soil type. We're looking at five seeding rates, three end rates. This is the yield data in 2006, and you'll notice I'm showing interaction effects, but there's no significant interaction between the rates or the end rates. But you can see in this case, we're looking at corn yields from the low of 220 bushels up to 276, 280 bushels per acre. These are replicated field trials with four replications, again, half acre in size. So they're big plots. Looking at the main effects in 2006, Each incremental increase in seeding rate gave us a subsequent increase in yield. So by increasing from 60,000 up to 100,000 seeds per hectare, we increased yields, in this case, from 14 megagrams per hectare up to 17 megagrams per hectare, or from about 220 bushel up to almost 280 bushels per acre. We do the same thing and look at means across the seeding rates for nitrogen. In this case, you're looking at the statistics. There was a significant response to nitrogen, but this response is only about 2 bushel to 3 bushels per acre. 3 bushel of corn at $5 a bushel, that's $15. 40 pounds of nitrogen, which was the increment here, 40 pounds of nitrogen at 50 cents a pound is $20. So even though it's statistically significant, it's not economical. And that's a key, because you're going to see in subsequent years, this in 2007, we moved back to the same field we were in 2005. Again, yields in this case at the lower seeding rates were a little bit higher than they were in the previous year. The variety is the same, and the top yields are a little bit lower, but we're still in this 260 bushel corn area. Now, this is irrigated corn, really good yields. In fact, this particular farmer has won the National Corn Grower Contest in Mississippi more than once. And every time we've won it, we've been in my test plots. So he knows, but he's very successful also. Looking at main effects, again in 2007, each increment increase in seeding rates, and we would normally be in this case, from a production standpoint, in that 75,000 seeds per hectare seeding rate range. But each increment, again, in 2007, gave us significant increase in yield. If we look at the main effects for nitrogen, again, same thing. We saw a significant response, but not an economical response. 2008, I was working not only with the farmer, but also with Monsanto and DeKalb. They were supplying the corn variety. So in 2008, we repeated the same test in the same field, corn following corn, which we don't recommend, but we were interested in seeing what happens. We shifted to the variety they wanted to try, and notice in 2008, the yields are much lower, corn following corn, even at the lower seeding rates. So there is a potential difference between the varieties, but we're also corn following corn. So this got us to thinking about this variety interaction. So the seeding rate effects in this case, there was no response above the 87,000, really above the 75,000 seeds per acre. There was no additional increase like there had been in previous years. The 2 years before that, we saw significant increases. But in 2008, the same thing with nitrogen. Above the 245 kilogram per hectare N rate, no additional response to nitrogen. So lower yields, less response to nitrogen. So this is a truly appears to be a variety interaction going on. So the next step in our mind here, okay, the farmer has questions. First question, do I continue twin row planting? One of the reasons we're looking at twin row, because we've demonstrated in Mississippi several different times the advantages of twin row beans. If a farmer buys a planter, that planter that we're using is a $100,000 piece of equipment, and the more acres he can cover with it, the better off he is. So twin row planting, is it better? Well, we think it's at least as good versus single row planting. But the big question becomes, is there big differences in some of the varieties? So we got together with the folks from DeKalb and folks from Pioneer. So we went in 2009 and took the nitrogen component out of the study. We went with whatever the farmer wanted to do. We went with his nitrogen management system, but we put in six hybrids at three different seeding rates. Now, in this particular case, he moved from 8-row equipment to 12-row equipment. Again, we're in farmer fields. So we ended up planting two varieties at a time, splitting the planter. We looked at seeding rates from 30,000 to 40,000 plants per acre or 75 to 100,000 seeds per hectare. A little bit of difference in maturity. There's a little bit of difference in the flex in these varieties. And flex is a terminology most of you that are used to growing soybeans or growing rice or growing wheat know that plants have the ability to compensate for stand. Corn has never really been thought to compensate very much for Stan, but there's a lot of work being done now that indicate that some of these genetic materials within the corn hybrids do have some ability to compensate somewhat for Stan. So some of these varieties, like the Pioneer 33 F87, has a low flex, which it doesn't compensate much. So you would think as you increase the seeding rates, you might be better off at a higher seeding rate for that particular variety. So, like I said, we split the planter. Half of it was set up with one variety. Half of it was set with another variety. This particular planter is equipped with, and I don't think you can see them on here, but it has a dialing mechanism to work with a stagger. The key in twin row planting is trying to get a seed here, and the other seed on the other row kind of splitting the difference there. That's the ideal. Now, whether that really happens or not and whether you can really keep doing that is more of a question, but that's the idea behind it. This is 2009 data. This is actually our plant populations. Now, remember, we were using the same settings. This is not a hydrostatically driven. It's a gear-driven mechanism. So when we're planting a single rate, we can change whatever variety we want in there. It singulates the seed and plants it. But one of the things that's real interesting is to see how much variation there actually is in the plant populations based on the varieties. If you look at the lowest plant population, right, where's our mouse? Come on, mouse. Here we go. So you, in this 80,000 plant per hectare range, you can see that you've got some in here that's at least 45,000 plants per acre less. We get up at the higher plant populations, we see quite a bit of variation out there also. Now, what does that have to, or how does that affect yield? These are yield numbers from the same study. And notice that the varieties in this case, we are in this range of 14 megagrams per hectare. We do see some response here. In fact, it's significant when you average across all of those varieties. So we are seeing that these varieties do behave differently. As I indicated earlier with the 33 F87, this is the dark blue bar right here. You do see a significant increase, particularly in that variety, while you take the light green bar, the 6723, you don't see much difference as we increase the seeding rate on that particular variety. We repeated this again in 2010. DeKalb decided they wanted to change their varieties to the new technology. It is the same material with a little bit of different genetic package, but a little bit of insect resistant difference there. That's their decision. They're providing the varieties. This is, again, is the plant population. It's a little more different in 2010. But again, you see, as we've got to the higher plant populations over here, you didn't see nearly as much difference in the final stands as you did at the lower plant populations. We get to yield. Again, not as much difference as in 2010. Now, we have continued this again in 2011 with the same varieties. That field has been harvested, but I haven't worked up the data or anything yet. So what have we learned from our study so far? That we know that we are seeing a response to seeding rates that's economical. Now, the other studies that I've got going on are actually comparing single row versus twin row. But with the situation we have here, we do feel like we can move up at least 5,000 to 6,000 plants per acre, 3,000 to 4,000, 10,000 to 15,000 plants per hectare, increase our seeding rate, increase our yields. The nitrogen response we're seeing is not, it's significant, but it's not economic. We have seen a little bit of delay in maturity, which we normally see as we increase the nitrogen rates. We did move, like I say, in 2009 to looking at these varieties. Most of the time, we've not seen an interaction between these things. We're headed, still working with twin rows. So with that, we may not have time for a question, but...
One quick question. Did you have differences in leaf architecture in your varieties?
Or? Yes, some of the usually the ones that have the lowest flex tend to be more upright leaf architecture. Now, we didn't really compare architectures, but that's generally what you see. Is they're more upright in architecture. In the south, most of our varieties, the leaves lay out fairly open. They'll cover the 40-inch row areas rather easily. So we don't see a big advantage in comparing 30-inch rows to 40-inch rows. And we've got some studies going on to compare those. But the configuration that we end up with in our 40-inch rows with a 10-inch spacing there on 40-inch or 8-inch spacing on 30 gives you a 30-inch row in the field. So that may have been a long answer to a short question.
Did you have unacceptable lodging in those higher populations?
No. That's one thing. In these studies on farm, we have not had a lodging problem at all, except in 2005. And you could have been a tree in 2005. 100-mile-an-hour winds. Corn wasn't designed to withstand 100-mile-an-hour winds.
How did the farmer arrive at his desired nitrogen grids? Because there's quite a bit of change there. Was he doing soil testing?
Not for nitrogen. He is on his consultant. We've looked at a lot of different end rates. The farmer is actually using about 200 pounds of nitrogen. I've got a lot of studies on him trying to convince him to go up a little bit. But this is also, I'm sorry, these are following soybean. So in Mississippi, we give about a 30-pound credit for nitrogen. Our recommendation is 1.3 pounds of nitrogen per bushel of expected yield. So we should be, for 200 bushel yield, we should be at that 260-pound range. But that's a top for another day.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.